He's like, welcome to Hammer Down! Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. Be steering this beautiful ship today. Along with Sir Pat McAfee. How are you doing today, sir?
Excellent. Can't wait to win all weekend. Super wild card weekend.
Gummy, did you go undefeated in soccer picks yesterday?
6-1, my friend.
Hey,
that'll what have we been saying, Gummy? What have we been saying?
Not only was he 6-1, he had a good hair day, too.
Thank you, Michael.
He did have a great hair day. He's about to have a lot better hair day, though, from what I've been
told. It's all green, baby. It's all green. Horizon. Gumpy will be dropping those beautiful picks. He'll be dropping some nukes and stuff like that as far as trends and stats are going for this weekend's games. And our former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod. Make sure you subscribe to the Daily Coach for a beautiful daily newsletter of beautiful motivation.
Great way to start the day.
Great way to start the day.
Great shit reader.
It is.
You know, like while you're taking your morning shit, good read.
I love it.
That's why you put it together, right, Michael? How are you doing today? Yep.
I'm doing better. I'm doing really good. I'm excited for the weekend. I'm excited for three games. I'm happy.
Super wild card weekend. First one ever. I'm fucking pumped too.
Super wild card weekend. I like the name that they settled on was Super Wild Card. You know, instead of, because they had to soup it up a little bit with the extra games and everything like that. But I mean, from what, 1 o'clock till midnight, both Saturday and Sunday, there's something awesome to watch on television. Uh-huh. I mean, no longer wondering what the hell I'm going to do Saturday or Sunday. I mean, I'm going to have to get in the Oculus Arena at some point, but what a weekend we're about to have here, Paizon.
You should, and you should list what's on the menu. I mean, that's going to be the bigger thing. It's like, what's going to be Saturday's menu as it relates to Sunday? Because you're not moving, so it's all buffet. You got to go through the line and sit back down.
What do you like to have for games, Mike?
Well, you know, I mean, I think this weekend, since my son's coming down from Boston, it'll be whatever he wants because his mother will do whatever the hell he wants. It's already started. I mean, the red carpet is already out there, so it's
we can get some fresh prosciutto, maybe some gabagool.
That Sunday will be Sunday will be an all Italian day. I think Saturday will be whatever his favorites are. I heard it's French onion soup.
Oh,
so that's all I've heard. So she's up there cooking now.
That's awesome. I promise you, it'll
all be pretty good coming out of there. Look, you're not a fat guy. I'm not a fat guy for no reason.
I just like the fact that you're just like, my spoiled son's coming down. Whatever the hell he wants is what we're going to eat on Saturday.
I can't even imagine.
Well, not only is he coming down, Pat, you guys are young. I got grandkids, so he's coming, but he's been replaced by somebody bigger than him and his son. So you talk about coming out now. Oh, you know. And so
I can't even imagine the football conversation with your son who is on the New England staff. Is your other son going to be there too?
He'll eventually get here. He has to go see his in-laws up in New York. So then he'll come down probably for the next round. So the three of us will sit there and argue back and forth. It's pretty good.
That's awesome.
What do you guys just talk about? Like, what situational football decision is better? Like, is that what the Lombardi House is?
It is centered on, like, what the, you know, who the announcer is and what he's saying and how it makes really no sense at all of what's going on the field. You know, it'll be a little bit of that, a little bit of, like, you know, this is what their tendency is in this area of the field. This is what they're going to call. This is how they behave. I mean, one thing about these teams,
it's probably super high IQ conversation.
You know, one thing about these teams, I think when you get into this round, I think as fans, this is all situational football now. You know, we talk about the NFL, NBA, where they go, oh, we're in playoff mode in the NBA. It's all half court offense and all that. In the NFL, it's now really become more of a situational game. Every possession is important. Every play. There's 70 plays in a game. You got to make them all count. And it comes down to who can convert third and twos really well, third, three, and four, that gray area, right? Who can do that? You know, who can score early in the game and start the game from in front? And then who can convert in the red zone, especially when you got goal-to-goal situations? Those are the kind of plays that you have to matter. It matters most. Like, Brady's got to be really good this week against Washington on third and short. He's got to be really good. And then when they get down the red area, he's got to be even better on those third and goals.
How the hell is Washington going to score points, Mike, rotating quarterbacks?
That's a great question, Gump. I don't know. I mean, the way I see Washington getting to 20 is if they turn the ball over. I mean, they got to 15 against Seattle, and Seattle didn't turn it over.
Chase, that defense has a score.
Right.
Yeah, they do.
numerous times for them potentially. The more I think about it, in the early conversation about the Tampa-Washington game was, okay, Washington has something that could become a problem for Tampa. And I don't know if we were just generating that, so we had some conversation about it, and it's Tom Brady, obviously, in the playoffs, so you're going to talk about it more. But the more, like, Tom knows that they have a great D-line.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, whenever he gets in the playoffs, it feels like this is the guy. Like, hey, he's going to go win the game. But we'll find out, was that Josh and Bill, or was that Tom willing a team to a dub, basically, you know?
Mike. I think this is a game where Tom, you don't need 30 to win. You probably need 20 to win. So you got to be really careful with what you're doing with the football, because any mistake you make benefits them greatly. If it's on a half field, if you turn it over and they can go get 8 yards and get a field goal, you know, you're playing into their hands, because they're not going to go. They're not capable of putting 10 plays together and scoring.
No, they're really not. They are really not. Fun little fact, Washington, to that point, has gone under in their last five games. Jeez. And they are 7-2-1 to the under in their last 10.
The under has hit in 17 of the last 22 wild card games as well, Tony.
Why do we think that? Like, there's a reason for that. And what I said to open the pod was, that's the reason. It's not conservative football, it's careful football. Every possession matters. Every third and two, like when you look at those play sheets, you got to have a lot of third and twos on your call sheet. You got to be able to convert those, and you've got to be able to get down and convert the red zone third downs. You got to keep the football, and it's all about situational. Field position matters. You're not going to take as many chances in this game. Why would Tampa go for it on fourth down in their territory to give Washington the field position that they can't get on their own? It's things like that. That's why unders come in.
Yeah. Oh, so we're big weekend for Tone, huh?
Yeah. Trust me, I've got some games pegged for the under when we give out our picks tomorrow. I've got a couple little tasty treats for the under tomorrow. But
really?
Tampa's the third road favorite of 7 points or more in the playoffs since 2003.
It's also
the previous two lost outright.
That's a lot of points.
It's also a big dog weekend. Dogs and the unders normally the first weekend of the.
But the dogs also plays into one less team being in the playoffs too. You know what I mean?
And also, I mean, if we're going to continue talking dogs, I mean, the Titans, that feels like the bet of the weekend.
Does it?
For me, if you look at the dogs at home, the Titans are getting points right now. The last couple weeks, the Ravens have been awesome, but it's like the Titans getting points at home, that almost feels like.
Dogs have covered in 11 of the last 12 wild card games.
I can't consciously.
Home dogs, Gump. How about home dogs? What are home dogs?
Home dogs since 1980, Mike, in the playoffs are 26-14-1 against the spread.
I can't consciously bet on the Tennessee Titans defense.
I love the Titans.
Mike, what do you think about that game?
I agree. I mean, my numbers say I got to take Tennessee in the points, but I'll be holding my ass. Just before anybody picks, Brad Allen will be the leadoff referee for us on Saturday afternoon at 1:00. Just FYI.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Mike?
I don't know what it means. It means a bad officiated game. I know that. I don't know if it favors one team or the other.
You know he's going to make one call just for himself, Mike. We know that.
Yeah, I can't. Like, what it means to me is I should stay away from it. Like, that's what it means.
Nah,
like,
hey, you're going to be forced to pick every game. You know that.
What's that?
We're going to, I am going to try. Gumpy and I, the table and I. The table is going to try to bully you into picking every game. Now, Diggs will hold strong, and he is the host of the show.
Yeah. I'm prepared to pick every game. I got no problem with that. I mean, none of my kids are in it. They're on the couch with me, you know, so I'm with you. I got numbers here, and I've researched every game. I've looked at it. I went back. I've watched every rematch of the games they played. Ooh. So I'm fully prepared to make a pick.
What's your favorite game of the weekend that you feel most confident? Don't give away your pick yet, because that's what we're going to do tomorrow. But what is the game that you are locking in on?
You know, I have a hard time. The one I've really locked in on is Seattle Rams. Yeah. I've really spent a lot of time on that game.
Seahawks won 10 straight playoff games at home.
I know.
Jared Goff's back, though.
Is he going to play?
It's not for certain, but there was video of him throwing at the practice yesterday. They said he looked decent throwing at practice yesterday, which is wild to me with a broken thumb.
Mike, if somebody's practicing on Wednesday or Thursday of playoff week, they're playing the fucking game.
There's no doubt. If he's out there throwing it and stroking it, I mean, the only way, which means he has no swelling in there, right? That means he has no, I'm not, to pull a Belichick line, I'm not a fucking doctor here, but, you know, he would be out there if he had swelling in there. He's got limited, so he can grip the football.
That's like Stephon Diggs. They're saying he's questionable, but he was practicing yesterday and he's practicing today and he's dancing. It's like, well, he's questionable with a muscle, why are you having practicing if he's not playing? He's playing is the way.
Right. So like everybody has to understand this. Like the players are no longer getting their game checks. This is all about we make more the further we go.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not checking anything at the curb. We're going all the way through here. We're going to play as hard as we have to play.
It is awesome to watch those guys at the end who are like kind of hurt, but it's a playoff game. So it's like, all right, I'll just go out here, sell out. And then if you win, it's like, all right, the next week you're trying to get the body back so you can sell out again. The speed, I think my rookie year, the thing I noticed most was like preseason game. I was like, holy shit, this is faster than college. Then I got to the regular season game. I'm like, God damn, these dudes are flying around. Then I got to the playoffs. It was like, holy hell, there's a whole nother level of speed. And then the Super Bowl, dudes were just like blowing out hamstrings, running as fast as they can to make something happen. There's levels to this thing. The game gets heightened whenever the things get more important, and it could be potentially the last one of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's lose or go home. So, you know, I mean, that mentality, that's why every play, I mean, Belichick used to tell the team, you know, there's going to be 80 plays in the game. We can't take a play off. It's 80. You got to give it 80 plays effort every play.
For that game, Jamal Adams says that he is going to play. A couple notes that I found. The Rams are 12-4 to the under this season.
Boom.
Seattle is 7-1 on a 7-1 under run. It would have been 8-0, but a lot of stuff happened at the end of the game last week. Their games were 20-9 this year and 23-16.
Seahawks 6-1 against the spread last 7 wild card games. Rams are 4-10 against the spread their last 14 in Seattle.
Boom.
Pat, I know you, I don't want to say you were confident in the Colts, but the Bills dancing today did not help your confidence with the Colts.
Yeah.
The Bills look like a loose team. Yeah, they covered 8 straight, I believe.
They look very comfortable in what they're doing. It doesn't look like the moment has gotten too big for them and they're overthinking it or changing anything. They're out there dancing to MC Hammer Pies on. Buffalo Bills might be the most confident team in the playoffs right now.
I think that their behavior against Miami, how they played in that game, the looseness that they played in a game that they weren't even really trying to win and they dominated, their culture is really good. Their culture is really good. What worries me about Indianapolis is all those short yardage plays that we talk about, right? We talk about, you know, how Phillips going to have to convert 3rd-and-2. He's going to have to score in the red zone. Those are the problems that creep up with Indianapolis whenever you watch them this year. And that's what makes you worried about them winning the game. Now, I think Jonathan Taylor's been sensational. But, you know, Indy's at on 3rd-and-2 or less, they're 61%. I mean, that's one of the worst. The Steelers are 56 in that category, which worries you about, too, when it comes to they got to convert a 3rd-and-2. They know, you know, they got to throw it.
Is there a thought that the Bills haven't come up against a very, very good team, though?
Are we sure Indy's a very, very good team? 21-14 with Jacksonville. Couldn't put him away when the week before MVP Mitch put him away with no problem.
Yeah.
Whoa, take it easy, dude.
But I mean, I had the 14 and the Colts. I thought that should have been a 40-10 game.
Mike, do you have anything on the Bills? How they've been? How their defense has been since Milano's been back and since Edmonds has been back?
I think that's the key to their defense is Milano. I know Edmonds is good too, but Milano gives them the chance to play. You know, they can play regular with Milano in the game and still adjust out to nickel. Like he gives them that versatility. So they don't have to substitute and play small, play big, play small, play big. They could just keep their guys on the field, which ultimately is that's what you want to do in football. You want to be able to put your 11 out there and have them versatile enough where they play. Pittsburgh does it all the time.
The reason why I asked, part of me wants to take the Colts because their run game, earlier in the year, they were like 30th, 29th as far as yards per carry. But now this last half of the year, they've jumped all the way up into the 14th in yards per carry. So if they can control,
The big thing, you should check like the last three games.
Oh yeah, it's been unbelievable. When they give
the ball to Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor has become a focal point.
And Buffalo is number 26 in stopping the run as far as yards per carry. So the only,
I mean, if they,
you think about those third and twos.
I want to think that if the Colts can hold on to the ball and keep it away from the Bills' offense, but potentially.
But they won't, because they got up 24-7 on the Steelers, all right. And Phillip Rivers starts slinging the fucking ball around to anybody.
And checking out of plays that Jonathan Taylor's supposed to run.
Just hold on to the fucking lead, dude. That's all you have to do. You got a great run game.
Were you up in New England whenever Phil and the Chargers were supposed to go up there and win a couple years ago, and then the Patriots won by 45 or something like that?
I was in there. That was when they were, you know, the Patriots coming off a bye. They rushed Phillip the right way. You know, they attack. You know, you got to rush Phillip inside and make him kind of start to move side to side as opposed to stepping up and javelin throwing it. They know how to play him. You know, for like when you look at the last 4 weeks of what Indy's done in the run game, you know, Vegas, they had 212, 127 against Houston, 127 against Pittsburgh, 273 against Jacksonville. I mean, the reason it was a 28-24 game is they only threw for 164 against Jacksonville in perfect conditions.
They did. Phil, I don't trust Phil either.
No.
Hey, come on. It's a new Phil.
I'm just not sure I trust him.
I don't want to bet that game, but I'm forced to.
Every game, you know,
that would be one I would cross off the list.
Chicago at New Orleans is currently 9.5. Seems like a lot of points. I know Mitch is your guy. What do you think?
So you go back. Let's go back. Let's talk about the last time they played. Right, it was a windy day in Chicago. I think it was week 8 of the season. You know, that game was Nick Foles played quarterback. Breeze was not really throwing the ball that well. That was clearly when Breeze couldn't throw it down the field. Kamara made a couple plays more in the passing game than he did in the running game. Breeze was horrible on third down. He was 2-for-10 on third down in that game. They couldn't control the ball. They got a 10-point lead with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and they went down the field and scored to cut it to a 3-point lead. And then the Saints got the ball back, and they had a 3rd and 2, and they tried to throw a swing pass to Kamara that the Bears sniffed out. And then, you know, they converted 2 fourth downs on the next drive to get the field goal into overtime. Bears get the ball to start the game in overtime, can't do anything with it. Saints get the ball, can't do really anything with it. Bears get it backed up, and then they were able to make a play, and they kicked the field goal to win the game. So it was a little bit misleading, more because I think Breeze didn't make plays in the passing game. I think the wind affected Breeze. He had Kamara wide open for a touchdown pass on a wheel route. He just underthrew it. Rokon made a play. It was a game that you could see the Bears were outmanned. Now with Mitch back, Mitch played in that game. He ran the ball one time on a run play. But Foles played really well in this game. I mean, they threw the ball down the field in this game. This is one of the few games Foles played well in.
This is the highest money total of the weekend. Saints are getting 91% of the money.
Jesus.
Table have anything for this game?
Saints are 0-5 against the spread their last 5 as a favorite in the playoffs.
Boom.
0-4 against the spread their last 4 playoff home games.
Boom.
And 1-4 against the spread their last 5 playoff games.
Wow.
Bang.
It's a lot of points, but I mean, the Bears are the Bears.
They have, their offense has been playing a lot better. Montgomery's been playing well.
If they can run the ball and that defense can make some plays.
Montgomery's their identity now.
Yeah,
correct. And Maserati Mitch has been throwing some completions.
Turn the ball over. If Mitch cannot turn the ball over, they can keep this within 9.5.
With Montgomery being...
What you just said there is like me saying if Lombardi to get the one, he'll be really thin. I mean, like, seriously, Mitch not turning the ball over is like me not eating a donut if it's in front of me.
He's been playing better, Mike. Give the guy some credit.
I'm not being critical. I'm not attacking him personally. I'm just saying he can't help himself.
On the field. You're saying on the field.
Yes.
And for the Bears, the Saints have the number 4 rush defense. So if it does go through Montgomery, it's going to be hard sledding.
It's going to be a long day. Probably an under there. It's probably where we're headed.
That's interesting.
I think that's the way Sean's going to call the game. I think, first of all, let's just break down the last game. Sean had a really good handle on Pagano. Like, Sean had plays with Pagano that he had. And Drew was never in a bad play. I would say that probably the worst play of the day was the third and two that they didn't convert, which they were forced to punt the ball back to Chicago, which tied the game. But I think Sean really understands Pagano. I think he knows how to move the football against this scheme, and he's got the players to do it with, especially Michael Thomas being healthy in the game. And it's indoors, and there's no effect on Breeze's arm.
And the Saints defense, which we talked about for a long time, was very good. Then it kind of fell off for a couple weeks. That's a very good defense. Number four against the rush. Uh-huh. The Bears are a rushing team now, with Montgomery being their identity and Mitch being able to move a little bit. That's yeah. you almost lean towards the
this game, and Mitch has to throw it more than 30 times. The Saints will cover.
And all right. Noodle Arm Drew slinging around indoors.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's retiring. He didn't do it for himself. He's playing for the city and the organization.
He didn't get paid a dollar this year. You know that, Mike?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's just doing it for the city and his team, man.
He got $25 million, but he did say in the interview that he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for the organization and for the city of New Orleans.
All right, last game of the week. Oh, my bad.
$25 million will make you very caring.
It will. All right, last game of the weekend. I believe it's still at 5.5. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Sunday at 8:15.
Oh, are you saying another positive? Probably not going to be Sunday. Maybe they're going to move.
No, I'm just saying if the Browns fucking figure it out over there and realize this. Listen, congrats on making the playoffs, but you still got to play in the fucking playoffs. Scumbags. Fucking takes all of us, okay?
Jeez Louise.
They had another positive today, but let's. Well, how much of an effect do you think it is Stefanski being out?
I think that's huge. I mean, like, you know, I know that they're not going to be able to look. I know that, you know, that Alec Van Pelt will call the game. But this is who's managing the game? Who's orchestrating the game? Who's going with the flow of the game?
Not Baker.
Who's handling that? Who's making the fourth and one decisions? Who's making the fourth and two? Who's deciding we're in field goal range, but we should go for it on fourth down? You know, like, who's making those decisions? And when those decisions involve the play caller, the play before always becomes the more important play. You know, if you're reacting to the play at the time, you know, you're going to burn a timeout. You're going to be, for lack of a better term, too Anthony Lynch. You need to be able to set that up.
I think it's going to be a big deal. I mean, let alone the offensive lineman that's out and the other players that are out. But the head coach play caller being out, I think, is a much bigger deal than people think.
Pat, what's the player psychology going in? Because you did it against the Jets where you let them win in the regular season because you sat some guys out and then you played them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was way too young to even care. But the boys did know what happened. Like, the boys knew what the look could be if they were to lose to the team that they let into the playoffs. Like, that was something that was mentioned at lunch in the locker room. It was like, could you imagine if we let these dudes in and they beat us? Like, it was something that was actually thought about.
Mike, watching the Brown Steelers last week with Mason Rudolph at quarterback, it was wild. They actually ran the ball from under center a little bit and also did some play action, which I haven't seen all fucking year. Do you think any of that carries over with Ben, or is that just a Mason thing?
I think if they want to go further in the playoff, it has to. You're not going to get there with Ben throwing it 50 times. You know, let's just look at the numbers. I mean, their numbers on third and two or less, they're at 56%. 56%, that's by far the lowest in the playoffs, right? When they're third and goal, they're at 42.65%.
Hey, you said third and two. The Colts are at 61, Steelers at 56. What's a number you'd want that at?
I think you got to be – the Rams and Seattle are both at 68.
Okay.
The idea – Baltimore's at 72. You want to be over 70? You really do. Look, I think here's the other factor you got to look at. What team do you think can get 380 yards, and what team do you think can keep the team from getting 340 yards? Answer those two questions, and that usually is going to lead you to who's going to win the game.
Well, Mason Rudolph threw for 320.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw the ball. See, I think the over in the Cleveland game is more, you know, what's it? I have four between 46 and 47, right? Isn't that what it is
47.5 on FanDuel.
Okay, 47.5. I mean, I could see this game being 31-24. I could see it being 30-24. You know, I could see it being 28-24. You know,
personally,
we got a Sunday night shootout.
Personally, as a Steeler fan, I think the higher scoring the game, the better for the Steelers.
To me, the Steelers, if you're up at 14-0 to me, as fans listening to this, if it's 14 to nothing at the first quarter and it's the Steelers, bet the over and really hit that, because the Browns will score. They'll come back and score on them.
Maybe. New play caller.
Yeah, that's the other issue. You got to worry about that. I think the plays are fairly easily set up that Vampella call them. I think it's the decision-making in the fourth quarter that these games really come down to.
I wonder if they'll just let Van Pelt be the guy who decides on fourth down as well.
Maybe they're going to let Callahan do it. You know, he's been a head coach before. Let him do it, you know, and just tell the play caller, hey, you're in four down territory here.
Well, hey, do you think now that the special teams guy's the head coach, maybe they got some wrinkles up their speech, up their sleeve in the punt game?
I think field position matters. In all games this now. Field position truly matters. I mean, look, we've talked about it before, not because Pat's a punter, but the MVP of the Super Bowl there in Indianapolis was the punter. By far, the Patriots started on the 22-yard line, open every drive.
Steve Weatherford had like 5 inside the 10 or something. Like, it's still a Super Bowl record.
It was one of the best. You play on a long field in the playoffs, you know, you're going to be in a lot of third downs. And the more if the Saints couldn't convert third down the first time they played them, it's going to be harder to do it the second time.
You know, I think the special teams coach all year was trying to get Stefanski to run a play, and now that he...
I don't know much about that special teams yeah. coach. I learned a lot about him yesterday from Mark Madden. It was wild.
I got two questions for you, Lombardi, before we get out of here. One is Nick Caserio. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh, I think Nick's a really hard worker. I think this is the job he's kind of wanted. He thought he was going to get it last year, but then he got blocked. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see who he hires. They won't hire anybody from New England. If I were him, I would hire a defensive coach and build around, because they got to fix that defense badly. I would try to hire Don Martindale. As you know, I like mm-hmm. him the most, but I think you can fix – Watson's going to carry whoever the offense – he'll carry the offense. You better fix that defense.
He wants traded, yeah, by the way.
What do you do if Watson comes to you and asks for a trade? Just tell him, hell no?
I sit him down in my office. I say, look, Deshaun, you're part of the solution. We're going to make this right. You got to have some faith in me like I have faith in you. You know, and we're going to build this thing so you're not getting hit as much, and we're going to win a Super Bowl together. And it's every day that I get out of bed, that's all I'm thinking about. But you're part of the solution. I'm not getting rid of you.
And then my last question was, what's worse? The Chargers interviewing Jason Garrett or Dave Gettleman saying that he is shaking his boots thinking of the fact that Jason Garrett might not be in New York next season?
That qualifies me as the quote of the year. I put that out there on Twitter. That's one of the greatest quotes of the year. Yeah. Look, the Chargers are interviewing Jason because of the relationship with Jimmy Johnson, North Turner, the Jones family, all that. That's all intertwined. It's politics. The Gettleman one is, you know, well, the Gettleman one's more as interesting in the sense that did he go to the 16 games and watch that? Did Dave, did you go to those games? I mean, seriously, were you attend? I don't know.
I think he was trying to put over Jason Garrett so maybe somebody else would hire him.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think?
They watched the tape.
What do you think about Todd McShay having Justin Fields going at 15 to the Patriots, Mike?
I don't know where I don't know. Everybody gets their own information on drafts. I don't know how that all works out. Look, to me, it's never about where they go. It's about how they play.
What an answer.
Well said.
What an NFL general manager answer that is right there.
A poet.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow with all of our picks. Did you say bye?
Hey, Paizan.
He's out.
Is he gone? He's gone.
He tried to say bye, and then he just left.
Quickest trigger. His wife is already making food for the grandkids.
He's pumped.
There's dogs barking when he got on very loud. I mean, he is off and running for Super Wild Card Weekend.
I'm so pumped for Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll be back here with our picks tomorrow.
I think I know what I'm doing too.
Yeah, I think I think it's gonna be a pretty short show.
There's three that I'm like I love, and then three that.
Well, how about you don't bet football?
Why you keep saying this?
Diggs, are you not on my side? No, probably not. Is there anybody on my side?
No. I think you bet every sport. I mean, you're going to have sports that are better.
Probably listening, people that are listening. Gumpy could have the greatest percentage in the history of giving out picks. Legit. You won 6-1 just yesterday. Today you're doing the same thing. Your soccer and basketball picks are so good. I just... I would like you to be fairly judged for your picks. I don't think the football record it should be weighing down what you're doing over there in the goddamn soccer world, because you're unbelievable over there.
It's a tough year in football.
You'll have that.
It'll happen. Could turn around in the playoffs.
Well, what are you going to sit at home and watch the games without having some action on them?
Yeah, well, just don't give them out publicly. You know what I mean? Because, Gumpy, you make a lot of people money, myself included. I'm betting on teams I'd never heard of before because you're sending out tweets in the morning on these goddamn soccer. There's no way I'll watch the game, but I just, at night, I look at my account. It's more money than it was in the morning by a long shot. It's like, thanks, Gumpy. Shout out to Gumpy for the footy pick.
Yeah, that was cool yesterday. One guy hit, I think he hit $1,600 parlay. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah. That guy never watched soccer before either.
No idea.
That's straight off of Gumpy's fucking brain.
Follow at Bubba Gumpino on Twitter for those picks.
A little selfish. He doesn't put those out at Hammer Don.
But follow at Hammer Don. I assume he retweets it from Hammer Don.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he does. Okay. I retweet it too every morning. I try to. Because I think the world needs to know. We are stealing money from FanDuel in the soccer world. We are stealing money. This guy right here with this beard, okay, from Canada, he knows more about the soccer gambling than any human I've ever encountered. And not that I would ever encounter a soccer gambling person, but it's been nice to have this soccer gambling and human encounter in my life.
Unbelievable.
We've won a lot of money with this guy on sports that we will never watch. Good for you.
Shout out to you, Paul.
Thank you.
Shout out to you, Gump.
Thank you.
But you're too deep in the football season to stop now.
Yeah. Some good lines this weekend.
I'll tell you what, next year this show.
Tough lines this weekend.
3-4 weeks into this thing.
You start
going the other way.
You give me the food.
Man, Gumpy, I'm sick of it. Just talk about his percentages are like 70-80% whenever he's talking about that.
We're talking greatest of all time.
But potentially Billy Walters like shit here. It's unbelievable. You're on a heater, pal. Keep it going.
Have to.
At Bubba
Here's my question
Gumpino.
You seems like you pick your NFL picks and football picks strictly off of hatred and trends.
Yeah.
Do you do the same for soccer? Or do you do stats and stuff? Just saying maybe take the same formula from soccer over to the football.
Yeah. Soccer is more of a feel from watching.
Okay.
Like I will look at trends, but not as much as football, which is wild to think about now that you mention it, Tony.
Yeah.
He kind of put you in a pretzel there.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. I was just.
No, that's.
No, you did. You did mean to do that.
It's a little sports psychology.
Yeah.
You kind of do what I do.
Soccer.
With
yeah. Soccer is more of I've watched these teams my whole life. Yeah.
You still watch all those games?
Oh, yeah. I love
it. No, they stink.
And Saturday, like it'll hit
7 a.m.
Yeah. Saturday, you wake up at 6 and you realize that you have a game bet on at 6 a.m. and you have.
Who wakes up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday?
You have bets going until about midnight. And then you realize that starts again Sunday at 6 a.m. again.
It's awesome. I just, whenever you put a tweet out, I copy and paste it, put it in my notes section, then go straight over FanDuel. Boom, 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 boom. Here we go. Let me steal money from a sport that I will never know what the hell is actually going on. But I don't even remember the teams.
Winner, winner, winner.
It's all it is. It's awesome, Gumpy. You have been a gift.
Will you have picks tomorrow on the show?
Yes, sir. All weekend long.
As well as our NFL picks. We will see you tomorrow, 3:30, right here. And if you don't catch us on YouTube, catch us as a podcast. Hammer
down.